Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. It's good to be back with you again today, and we're glad you've joined us, everybody. Today, we continue in our study through the exciting book of 1 John, and we hope you'll join us each Friday as we move through the pages of this revealing letter from the Apostle John. And to get us underway today, here is Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. 2,000 years ago, light entered into darkness in the form of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. John the Apostle was a witness to that event. He walked with Jesus. He saw Jesus as he was being baptized. He was there at his death. He was there at his resurrection. He was there at his ascension. And John, through the power of the Holy Spirit, is testifying to this person of Jesus Christ, to this light that came into the world. That's what this book of 1 John is all about. And it is an eyewitness testimony. So John is basically on a witness stand. He's being asked questions that came to him probably from the leader of the church at Ephesus on various topics. And John is bearing testimony about this man, Jesus, and in so doing is going to correct a lot of problems that were happening, solve some problems that were happening within that particular assembly, and give some assurance to the true believers that they haven't believed in a counterfeit Jesus. They've actually believed in the real one. So that's how this letter starts, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. It says, this is what we testify to and proclaim to you. So John has a purpose in writing. He's simply testifying to Jesus Christ, this eternal life that was made manifest in the person of Jesus Christ. So why is he doing that? And he gives the purpose so that you indeed can have fellowship with us, the apostles.
Right.
And that fellowship is with God the Father and with Jesus Christ the Son. And when we share in this fellowship together, then our joy as individuals will be made complete. We're saved individually, but we're added to a fellowship. We're added to a body of believers. And it's within that body that our joy really flourishes to the maximum levels.
Yeah.
So we want our joy to be made complete. So that's the beginning. That's the story. Well, today we're going to look at 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. This is a very controversial passage of Scripture. But I think based on the preface, if we will just keep that in mind, the meaning of this passage will really become clear.
Yeah.
So let me just read these five or six verses, and then we will dive in. So here's what John wrote. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and do not practice the truth, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So there's the verses, there's the passage that we're going to be dealing with today. And let's just dive in. We're going to start with verse number 5. So it says, this is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you. So I think we need to start right there. John heard this message from Jesus Christ himself. Mm-hmm. This isn't something, as we talked about last week, that John made up.
Right.
This doesn't come from his imagination. He wasn't sitting in front of a blank computer screen trying to get creative, and all of a sudden this story just started coming out. No, he heard this message from Jesus Christ. So that makes him a credible witness. That makes him a credible authority on the subject of Jesus Christ himself. And I think that's important for us to understand. One of the things that jurors try to determine is the credibility of a witness. Can his testimony or can her testimony be considered trustworthy? Mm-hmm. Can it be considered accurate? Is this witness credible? And the fact that John received the message from Jesus Christ himself makes him a credible witness to the person of Jesus Christ himself. Yeah. So he heard the message from Jesus, and it says that he's proclaiming this message that he heard from Jesus, to you. So how is he proclaiming it? Well, he certainly proclaimed it orally. He met and talked with people. But he's also proclaiming it to us today, as to the readers of his letter back then, through this letter. He is making a proclamation. He is giving an eyewitness testimony to this person of Jesus Christ in this particular letter. Now, what is the message that he is proclaiming? Well, it's very simple. It's very straightforward. The message is this, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. That's the message. That's what he is writing this to tell us, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Now, that kind of sounds esoteric. It sounds almost enlightened, but he's going to give some very tangible black and white evidence as to what this particular statement means. So what is the message? It's this, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. That's the message. Now, this is consistent with what he wrote in his gospel account. So, for example, in John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, we read this, in him was life. This is Jesus. And the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So who is light in this particular verse? Jesus Christ himself. So he's making the statement that God is light and in him there is no darkness. Well, this Jesus is light. He came into this world of darkness. So he's making the claim that Jesus is God. And he's also making a connection that light equals life. So if we're gonna look at the word light, we have to look at it in the context that it is about life that has come into this world. Why is that important for us to know? Because the world functions in sin and death. Darkness. That's the realm of this world. That equals darkness. So light equals life. Darkness equals death. If we follow Jesus, as he said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.
Yes, indeed.
That's what this message is all about. Yes. That's what John is testifying about, that in Jesus, you and I can have life.
Friends, thank you for joining us for week 3 of our study through 1 John. Now, in addition to this study, we have a lot of resources to help you understand the new covenant and grow in your spiritual maturity in the Lord Jesus, and you can find those on our online store under the Resources tab at basicgospel.net. But we're only able to produce resources like those and series like this because of the faithful support of you, our listeners. We depend on God working through you to keep this ministry of grace and Jesus Christ available to help you in your spiritual growth and understanding. So check out all those resources that are available, and when you do, please click that donate button and help Basic Gospel keep the good news coming. We'd love for you to partnership with us, and this study through 1 John is just rich, rich in insight, and we are so glad that you are with us today for this study, and as I said, this resource and so many other things are produced only because of your faithful support, so we appreciate the fact that many of you do, and we want you to go to basicgospel.net and click that support link and partner with us.
Well, thanks, Bob. So I think that's very important for us to understand that when John is referring to light, and he is making the statement that God is light, that Jesus is light, he's talking about life that has come into this world. when Adam and Eve sinned, they forfeited the life that God had given them. Now, they didn't forfeit their physical life, that they died, you know, some 900 years later. But the day that they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they died spiritually. And so Jesus is coming into this world to show what life really is, because in him is life. In Christ alone is life. And as John is going to say later on in this book, if you have the Son, you have life. If you don't have the Son, you don't have life. So light equals life, darkness equals death. And that's going to help us understand the following verses. Now, he has a series of if statements, and we're going to get to that. Richard?
Yeah, notice that there have been quite a few commentators in certain belief systems throughout history who have said this style of wording that John is using is what actually enabled the Gnostic situation to grow up. And it couldn't be any farther from the truth. He's using the Gnostics' words against them. Because what they were really going for was this dual nature of God. There's part of God that's not so good, and there's part of God that is good, and will deal with, you know, how human or not human he was and all of that sort of stuff. And John uses their verbiage and says, absolutely not. Jesus is light. God is light. That's life. Everything else is dark, and that's death. Get over it.
Right, right. And that bubbles up within the Apostle John, this apostolic evangelicalism, basically. He
yes.
wants to be an evangelist. He wants to invite people to the real Jesus, not the counterfeit one. Mm-hmm. He wants people to enjoy the real fellowship, not a counterfeit
yes.
fellowship. Our reality to be based in the truth of Jesus Christ, this message that he heard about what was from the beginning that was made manifest in the person of Jesus
yes.
Christ. So now he's going to go through a series of if statements. Now, this little word if is a word that if you look up in a Greek dictionary, there's just pages and pages and pages of information
yes.
about what it means in all the various ways. And there's third-class conditional ifs, there's this kind of if, there's that kind of if, and it's just really nuanced as far as this word is concerned. But in this particular instance, the if really is a third-class conditional
yeah,
if, and it carries a sense of doubt. And John is saying, and using this word if, to say, I'm not saying that you're saying all this, but if you are,
yeah,
then these things are true.
Yes.
Okay? So that's what he's saying. And so that's why he uses this word we, if we. And a lot of people will say, oh, he's speaking to Christians. This is just to Christians. No, he's being nice as an
yeah.
apostle. He is making some statements using this word if to be nice, not to look at somebody right in their eye and say, this is what you're doing. He's heard about these problems. And so he's saying, if you're one of these, if the shoe fits, then this is what's true of you, and this is what needs to change about
yes.
you. So let's get started. Now, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Now, let's substitute death for the word darkness. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in death, we lie and do not practice the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Well, were there people back in John's day, in probably the church at Ephesus, saying that they had fellowship with everyone within the church,
Absolutely.
Yet they walked in darkness?
Absolutely.
You bet they were. Well, what is true of them? Well, here's what's true. They lie and they do not practice the truth. Now, do you call that person a believer or an unbeliever?
Unbeliever.
An unbeliever. And so it's somebody that has heard the message but hasn't believed the message. So there are those who hear and reject. There are those who hear and believe. Well, the next verse says this, but if we walk in the light, if we walk in life as he is life, We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So if we walk in the light, what is that? Who is that? Well, that's a believer.
Yeah.
Well, if you're walking in the light as he is in the light, here's what you know. The blood of Jesus continually cleanses you of all sin. So what do we see about cleansing? It's not tied to confession. It's tied to the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, this is exactly what Paul said when he says, in Christ we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This is John's way of saying it in this context.
Right. And here the blood is tied to light, which is equal to life.
Mm-hmm.
So when we talk about the blood of Jesus, we're talking about the life of Jesus. He laid down his life for you and me.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that in the Old Testament, that life was in the blood. We see that in the book of Leviticus. So we see if we're in the light, in the life, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. So how do we have fellowship? You have to be in the light.
Yes.
How do we get in the light? Well, through faith in the one who has life.
And because of that, the Holy Spirit indwells us, and now we are in fellowship with him and with each other.
Absolutely.
It's the only way it can happen.
Absolutely. And then in verse 8, he says this, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So those who are not believing are saying they have no sin.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing so, they're deceiving themselves and the truth is not in them. Again, that's not a believer. That is
Correct.
An unbeliever. In verse 10, it says, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So if you're saying you have not
sinned. You see the pattern?
That's right. If you're saying you have not sinned, now, John would be saying, I'm not saying that you are or you aren't.
But check yourself.
But if you are saying you have not sinned, mm-hmm. you're making God out to be a liar, and his word is not in you. Well, what's the solution? What is the solution to those who say they have fellowship yet walk in darkness, who say they have no sin yet deceive themselves, who make God out to be a liar and his word is not in them? What's the solution to that? Well, the solution is to agree with God and recognize that he is faithful and just to forgive sin and to cleanse from all unrighteousness. So that's the deal. He's saying to you folks who are proclaiming to be a part of the fellowship, but who aren't really a part of the fellowship, here's your entry point. Here's the way that you can have access into this light, this life that is only available in Jesus Christ. And it starts with truth. You need to agree with God concerning your sin. And when you agree with God concerning your sin, you're going to find that God is faithful and just. Now, the fact that you agree with God doesn't make him faithful and just. He is faithful and just. He's already demonstrated that faithfulness. He has already demonstrated his justice in the person of Jesus Christ. And the byproduct, the result of that for you and me, is the fact that we receive forgiveness of all of our sins and are cleansed of all unrighteousness. That's the result of God's faithfulness and his justice that was manifested at the cross. And so you don't have to fear confessing or agreeing with God.
And this happens on a continual basis. It's not a point product. It's, I messed up, I'd better confess.
Right.
No, I am forgiven.
Right.
I'm already cleansed. Therefore, I can admit to God, I really messed up. Thank you for your forgiveness.
Right. So that's that. But for the unbeliever, it is a point event because they come to the point and say, hey, when I was saying I had no sin, I was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I was believing a lie. When I was saying I had no sin, I was making God out to be a liar because he said all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, I agree with what he said, that I am one of those who have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. And in admitting that, and in confessing that truth, then I am realizing, I get the opportunity to realize and experience the fact that God truly is faithful and just. And I get the opportunity to receive that forgiveness and to receive that cleansing. And that's what happens at that moment of salvation. That's that point event.
Yes.
Now, as a believer, we're going to confess our sins, but not for forgiveness and cleansing. That's already occurred. That
yes.
already happened. So we certainly confess. That's a part of walking in truth, isn't it, Richard?
Yeah, it is. And notice confessing has nothing to do with asking for forgiveness.
No.
It's just purely agreeing with God and his statement about what I am and who I am apart from him. I mean, there's no difference here than what Paul talked about in the first couple of chapters of Romans when he says, you know, it's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. God doesn't come at us with a hammer or with a flamethrower and hope that we'll repent. He comes to us with kindness and mercy, and he wins us over, and it demonstrates that he is faithful and just. And then, because he is who he is, you know, even though all of us have sinned and fallen short, we've been justified freely by his grace. John is saying the exact same thing to people who are making a slightly different argument. They're not making a legalistic argument. They're making an absolute lost person argument. And he's saying, look, if you will do this, if you will come to Christ on this basis, you will discover things about him you could never have imagined.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So John is giving an eyewitness account to the person and work of Jesus mm-hmm. Christ, this eternal life that was made manifest in Jesus. John is making known to the people, and he's making it known to them in such a way that he is engaging them in their core belief systems.
Yes.
And in saying, if you believe these things, then you're walking in darkness. But Jesus has come so that you might have life. Mm-hmm. Simply agree with God and receive that life. If you have received that life, then I want to give you some assurance that you are in fellowship, and the blood of
yes.
Jesus is cleansing you of all sin, purifying you. The very life of Jesus is making in you the things of this world grow strangely dim. That's what this is all about. So one last thing about confession. Confession simply is to agree with God, to say the same thing God says.
That's literally what it means.
Absolute.
Same word.
So when we as believers confess, we're not confessing to get something that we already have in Christ. In him, we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We don't confess in order to get forgiven. We simply walk in truth. We agree with God concerning our sin. We agree with God that we have an advocate, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And we agree with God that this advocate has already forgiven our sins on account of his name. That is the total confession package. And it could go on even more. We could agree with God concerning the need to go to somebody you've offended mm-hmm. and make it right. That's all a part of this walking in truth, agreeing with God. But it comes from the fact that we are in the light as Christ Jesus is in the light.
As he is in the light. Well, guys, these are just incredibly clarifying sessions that we're having through 1 John. Friends, thank you. We're glad that you've been with us for this third installment of this study. We'll continue the series next week at the same time, and gosh, I hope you'll be with us. In the meantime, if you have a question, if there's anything you'd like to pose to us, if there's a general question, call our 24-hour listener line, 844-322-2742. You can leave a voicemail there with your question. That's 844-322-2742. Or you can drop an email to bob@basicgospel.net, and we'll be glad to answer it on the broadcast. As we close today, please remember that this ministry is listener-supported, and we need to ask your help to keep the good news of the love, grace, and life of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ on the air and online. Please visit basicgospel.net to see all the ways that you can make your gift, and again, that's at basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, for all this great ministry team, Billy and Greg and Coleman, for Stephen and Michelle, for Kim, way up in Canada, for Vivian, all of us here, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again on Monday for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.